This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Kelly Fedoric with us on the program. Kelly is litigation staff counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, at its Washington, D.C. office, where she serves on the marriage litigation team. Kelly is with us today to talk about the escalating battle over the definition of marriage in the United States, how the courts are being used to force the redefinition of marriage on citizens across our country, and where North Carolina fits into this battle. Kelly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we really appreciate your time. We know that you all are extremely busy at ADF with all that you've got going on and are so grateful for all the wonderful work that you do. As we begin, it seems like nearly every day we seem to hear about another federal court that has struck down marriage laws of particular states across the country. How would you describe the current battle over marriage in the United States, and why are the courts being used to force the redefinition of marriage on the American public?
Well, I think what we're seeing is really an effort to radically redefine marriage. And in most states, to go against what the majority of citizens in that state thought best, you know, same as in North Carolina, those people went to the ballot box and they voted about marriage. They voted that they wanted to protect and strengthen marriage for the, you know, the good of society, but also for the good of children, to ensure that kids, you know, have a mom and dad wherever possible. And it's unfortunate that what we're seeing in a growing number of states are these federal judges striking down states' marriage laws, where in most cases it was the people that voted for them in the first place.
Well, and that's obviously exactly what we've seen here in North Carolina. And it seems like these fights initially took place in state legislatures, and the legislatures passed legislation authorizing these votes of the people to take place. And in many states across the country, as it was in North Carolina, those marriage protection amendments were adopted. And now we see this battle having moved into the courts. And I know it's really frustrating for a lot of folks out there, because they feel like the courts are really beyond their reach to have any impact on whatsoever.
Right. I think that a lot of people feel very helpless, because they did go to the ballot box. They did vote for what they believe is the truth about marriage and what's best for their state. And now those laws are being struck down instead of being upheld and respected as constitutional.
And I would just put a plug in for Alliance Defending Freedom at this point, because you all really are the voice of so many Americans in the courtroom. And we're, again, so grateful for all the wonderful work that you are doing. At last count, there were over 60 lawsuits challenging the marriage laws of 30 states, including two lawsuits that have been introduced in North Carolina. Now, the majority of these lawsuits were filed after the United States Supreme Court's decision in the Windsor case, which the court handed down in June of 2013. Kelly, if you would, tell us briefly about the Windsor decision and why marriage redefinition proponents are using it as a basis, albeit a wrong basis, to challenge state marriage laws.
Well, there's been a lot of confusion about what Windsor did and what it really stands for. So just to sort of clarify for your listeners, Windsor struck down Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which basically just defined, for the purposes of federal law, that marriage is between one man and one woman. And the court actually said that the federal government erred for deviating from its, you know, usual tradition of respecting state laws. So it's really important to know that the court said nothing good or bad about same-sex marriage. It certainly didn't say that there is now a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. That was something our opponents were trying to achieve, and they did not achieve that. The court did not say that. It simply said that the federal government cannot define marriage, and it needs to respect whatever the states say marriage is. Nevertheless, we have seen countless lawsuits filed. You said there's over 60 that have now come out challenging state laws defining marriage. But Windsor stands for the proposition that marriage should be left to the states to define, and for the people to make marriage policy as they see fit.
As I mentioned earlier, a number of federal courts have issued rulings overturning the marriage laws in several states, although those rulings currently are on hold pending appeal. How many state marriage laws have been struck down to date, Kelly, and how many cases are currently at the appellate level?
Well, we've seen marriage laws of Oklahoma, Michigan, Texas, Virginia, Utah, and then part of Kentucky and part of Ohio's laws have been struck down so far. And what we have right now on the appellate level of cases pending right now before the Fourth Circuit, that's the Virginia case currently. We have two cases in the Tenth Circuit. We have a case in the Ninth Circuit. Tennessee, Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky all have cases pending before the Sixth Circuit. And then we have cases pending in the Fifth Circuit, and then likely one that will reach the Seventh, one that will reach the Third, and one that will reach the 11th Circuit by the end of this summer. So there's a lot of marriage litigation upcoming in most of the federal circuits.
Well, North Carolina is in the Fourth Circuit, as you said, along with Virginia, where a federal judge recently struck down that state's marriage law as unconstitutional. And again, as we've talked about, that ruling is on hold. How do you see the importance of the Fourth Circuit, which includes North Carolina, in comparison or in relation to lawsuits in these other federal circuit courts of appeals, kind of in a big picture national perspective over this battle over marriage? And do you believe that states in the Fourth Circuit were intentionally targeted by proponents of redefining marriage in our country?
Well, the federal judge from the Virginia case, it would permit nearly every relationship to be marriage, so long as it is grounded in choice and emotion. Yet that's not what marriage or true liberty have really ever been. And so the court's ruling there in Virginia interferes with the right of Virginians to determine the future of marriage in their state. And it raises serious constitutional issues, and I would say the same would go for North Carolina as well. So the Fourth Circuit is important. I think every circuit is. But the Fourth Circuit, you know, the Eastern District of Virginia was targeted because it is known in legal circles as the rocket docket. Things move very quickly through that court, as we saw. We're already having oral arguments next month before the Fourth Circuit. So I think that the opponent's goal is to get back before the Supreme Court in 2015, and the speed with which we're seeing some of these cases move through the Fourth Circuit is important, and it's an important case to watch. And for North Carolina, what the Fourth Circuit says in the upcoming Bostick case from Virginia will be important for North Carolina as well, as it falls in that federal circuit.
Can you talk a little bit about North Carolina's case, and maybe not the specifics if you're not able to go into it in depth, but talk a little bit about, if you would, the two lawsuits that have been filed in North Carolina and what the issues are with respect to those?
Well, you know, it's important to remember, you know, we were talking about this earlier, that the people of North Carolina, they understood what marriage is. They understand that men and women bring distinct gifts to family life, and that children deserve to have a mom and dad wherever possible. And so in 2012, they voted that marriage should be between one man and one woman, and that was a unique relationship that the government had a special interest in protecting. And people have the right to define marriage. That is why we at Alliance Defending Freedom are working and involved in many of these cases to defend what marriage is, to defend the people's right to make marriage policy, and that this is consistent with Supreme Court precedent, including Windsor.
A second lawsuit was recently filed in North Carolina by the ACLU and other interests, trying to urge the court to overturn our marriage laws in order to recognize marriages that had been deemed legal in other states for same-sex couples. Is this generally what you're seeing, the substance of lawsuits in other states, or are they taking different forms depending upon the state that the lawsuit might be filed in?
It really does depend on the state. Michigan's case started out as a challenge to the state's adoption laws, and then the challenge to the marriage laws of Michigan were then added to that. In most states that we're seeing the marriage law itself, usually the marriage statutes and then the constitutional amendment, if the state has one, both are being challenged. So generally, I would say it's more the latter, but we've seen a variety of situations.
Now, many experts agree that the U.S. Supreme Court will ultimately determine the fate of state marriage protection laws. What has the High Court ruled in the past about such laws, and how soon do you foresee the High Court ruling on marriage again?
Well, the Supreme Court was very clear this past summer in its Windsor decision that the definition and regulation of marriage should really be in the hands of the state, that the federal government should respect whatever the state's law is on marriage. And Justice Kennedy, who authored the majority opinion, reiterated that point in a number of different ways, making it very clear that it's the sovereignty of the state to make marriage policy. It belongs to the people to make that decision. So, contrary to a lot of arguments that are out there, Windsor states that marriage policy remains in the state's control, and the Supreme Court has sort of signaled that once again when it issued its stay a few months ago in that Utah case. It seemed to suggest that, once again, yes, they are respecting the state's right to make marriage policy, and it's not their role to step in and overturn those laws. So we'll have to see. I would expect that these cases will reach the Supreme Court by next summer, so we could have some sort of decision from the U.S. Supreme Court as early as June of 2015.
Well, what advice do you have, and encouragement, if there is encouragement, and I know that there is, but Kelly, what advice and encouragement do you have for our listeners who are really overwhelmed by all of these court challenges, all of these attacks on marriage, and who frankly feel a bit defeated because of that? What can they do?
Well, you know, first I would just say that we need to think historically. We've been in hard or even worse times before in our country. If you think about the fight we had over slavery, we've had a fight that we're finally starting to win in the defense of life. And President Lincoln talked a lot about during one of our country's hardest times that there's a vast future that we're working toward. So while I completely can sympathize with feeling overwhelmed and discouraged, I would just like to offer a message of hope that while the mountain to restoring a marriage culture might get steeper in our country over the next few years, we're going to get over it, and we will ultimately win this issue because the effort to redefine marriage is contrary to human flourishing, to the welfare of our children and our children's children, and really to the truth about men and women and the complementary differences that they bring to the unique marriage relationship. So I think that we will ultimately win. It's just it's going to be a difficult battle in the short run. So I would just encourage folks to be engaged, be encouraging to others, live lives that testify to the beauty of marriage, but get engaged in your community. You know, write letters to the editor, write in local papers. I encourage your pastors or churches to speak out and talk about why marriage is important, why it's unique, why it's special. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a student, a businessman, whoever you are, witness to the truth about marriage.
Well, that's a great, great word of encouragement. Thank you for that. Well, Kelly, we're nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to learn more about the marriage battle and to find out more about Alliance Defending Freedom?
Well, I would just direct people to our website, which is www.alliancedefendingfreedom.org. There's a number of resources on there, and there's also a brochure that's on our website called What You Need to Know About Marriage, Questions and Answers Driving the Debate. And it's a very helpful brochure with a lot of those hard questions sometimes we face. So I would encourage everyone to check out that brochure and to read it.
Well, Kelly Fedoric, thank you so much for being back with us on Family Policy Matters and for your work defending traditional family values at Alliance Defending Freedom. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.